This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. Today I'd like to talk to you about responsibility. Now, responsibility comes in a lot of different forms. And we need to understand what is our responsibility. There's a very negative trend in the human society right now to not take responsibility. If something goes wrong, I didn't do it. If you're asked a question that you have to make a moral or ethical decision about, that's okay, it's not up to me. Or you get defeated in an argument, it's, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree. This is all lack of responsibility. It's denial of the responsibility as a human. Now, in general, we have responsibility that comes with birth. In the human form of life, you have to be a responsible being because you have hands, you have advanced intelligence, you have strengths, powers, assets, flexibility, determination, possibilities that the other species don't have. This is why the meat eating is such a problem, the misuse of the hands to kill everything and eat it, as opposed to till the land and responsibly feed everyone. So the responsibility issue starts at early age. You have to, basically, you have to learn to feed yourself. You have to learn to walk. You have to be educated. You have to fit into society, learn the language. You have to interact effectively. Nowadays, they always say interact politely. No. Effectively. What you think, what you feel, what you realize within yourself needs to be communicated to another person as it is, so that that person understands the perspective that you have. And similarly, learning and listening skills need to be developed so when they express themselves, you again get a clear picture of what they're experiencing or what they're trying to express to you. So this is a level in the human society that's not quite the same in the other species, because the other species communicate, you know, warning, hungry, a variety of things. But in the human form, we communicate an immense amount of various types of information and emotions. So our communicative skills are required to be advanced. So this is a responsibility. We have dictionaries that have thousands and thousands and thousands of words, yet we have people that only use texting language and word spellings. So we have a broad spectrum. We also have multiple languages on the planet. I don't know, 60, 80, 150, many, many languages on the planet. And we need to be able to interact or to translate effectively. Communication is the gift that the humans have over the other species. We have an ability to, and we have a responsibility, to communicate complex thoughts, meanings, and ideas back and forth in multiple forms of media interaction and exchange. This is a baseline responsibility. Similarly, we have children, we have a responsibility to, first of all, first and foremost, love the child. Hold it, comfort it, care for it, give it a sense of security, a sense of worth and wanting. Then we have to do the same thing we went through. It has to be fed correctly, learn how to feed itself, to walk. It has to be educated correctly. The child has to be kept taught right from wrong, taught to be responsible. It has to be clothed, cared for, educated, all the way up the line to where it's an independent, interacting copy. Another human who's able to stand up and do good to society and himself and take responsibility. Similarly, in society, you're supposed to take responsibility. If you have intercourse and you become pregnant, you take the responsibility. There's a child now. Take responsibility. The same thing. You chalk up bills. You have to work and get money and pay those bills. It's a responsibility. So we can see that being responsible is a characteristic of the humans. Certainly we have some domestic animals that are responsible. They're intelligent enough and they're determined enough that they can be responsible. There are stories of a host of different wonderful things that cats or dogs or horses, even pigs and other species, that do amazing things, showing their intelligence and they're taking responsibility. So the human form of life is where responsibility culminates. And the issue that I'm bringing up now is, what is your spiritual responsibility? The responsibility as a human is to come to understand your relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is there. It exists. It isn't, again, up for denial, or denying any responsibility here, denying responsibility there, denying responsibility to God. No, that's not human. That's negation of responsibility. So when we come to the responsibility of the living entity, the human's relationship with the Lord, this again is as complex as the intercommunications aspect of human responsibility. There are multiple different aspects of the relationship between you or I as a human being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the owner, controller, enjoyer, proprietor of everything. This place, this material world, this earth planet, this material existence is not our creation. There isn't anybody in the human form who created it, who has created it. There is nobody who's here or who has been here who did this. This is a cosmic God potency creation. It's not a creation of any man you may know or may have existed. So we immediately have a responsibility. Thank you. We have this opportunity of a human form of life. We have a body. We have environment. We have places. We have all these resources. We have a society to fit into. We have support mechanisms. We have a host of different technologies. And all of this is provided because the place has been provided by the supreme will. So there's a relationship there at the base level. Then we come up to the level of consciousness, the level of your consciousness. The animals only eat and sleep and mate and defend and have small desires or small responsibilities that they do, but generally that's as far as they go. But the humans, they have more than that because of this advanced intelligence, this advanced interactive ability, this contemplative, the communication qualities. All of this puts another whole echelon above the primitive level of survival. So, to actually be living an existence in the human sphere, you have to get above these four basic primitive aspects. You don't live for eating. You don't live for sex. You don't live to sleep. Okay? These things are primitive. These are the animal propensities that are described in the Vedic literature. And in the Vedic literature it says these propensities should be minimized as far as possible. Never overeat. Don't overindulge in sex. It should be a controlled experience. Sleeping. Sleep what is required for the health and maintenance of your body. 6, 7, 8, something like that, hours a day. In defending, set yourself in a situation where you're not causing anxiety to others. You can protect what is your allotment and you can live a peaceful life, generally speaking. But you minimize the protecting side of things. Don't get absorbed in things. So you have a lot to worry about or care for or protect. Well, if you're getting out of these animal propensities as the non-essentials, shall we say, or those to be minimized, then where are you putting your attention? Well, it's at the higher level of understanding, deriving knowledge from association with learned scholars, understanding that information, how it affects you, your life, your environment, your existence and experience in the human form. And then adjusting your life, adjusting your values, adjusting your goals relative to the higher conception of what is good for your development And it should be simultaneously good for everyone else. So the Vedic literature says you must come up to the platform where you are actually inquiring. You are interested to know, how did I get here? Why did I get here? How did this manifestation come into being? And how did I get a one-way ticket here, shall we say? How did I get a ticket to come? What is the criteria? And what is my responsibility? What is my duty? What is my duty here? Is it just for eating? Of course not. Is it just for making money? Of course not. Is it just for propagation of children? Of course not. These are all aspects that you have responsibility. But the ultimate responsibility is, where do I go when I leave? This is the real question of the human form of life. Why am I here? What is my duty? Where do I go? And this opens up another platform, a complete another platform of realization, of awareness, and simultaneously of responsibility. So you have to use your advanced understanding and analysis and perspective to forward your best interest. Now, the best interest of a human being is the best interest of any living entity. It's similar at any platform, at any level, that all of the humans have the same responsibility to understand their constitutional position of existence. What is my created constitutional characteristics? The Vedic literature describes this early because it's such a significant cornerstone to understanding the higher aspects of life. And that characteristic is, we are all servants, and we are supposed to be responsible servants. Now, let's take, for example, a butler. Now, a butler is responsible to the master. He sees to a variety of things, from the basic things of tending his body and clothes, etc., to appointments, to travel. He sees to environment, things around him, home, individuals, friends, relatives, a variety of interactions that are all being taken care of by the butler, so that the master can be doing more significant things that are of significance or importance or contribution. So, the platform of servant is one where the servant sees to the master's needs first. He takes care of himself, and of course the master sees to it that he has what he requires. But the servant is diligent. He's diligent in his service, he's diligent in his attitude, he's clean, he's qualified, he's trustworthy. These things that constitute the qualities of a good butler, a good servant. So this is our situation. So we are created in the conception that we are all to be servants. And if we see that, who is the master then? Are we all to be butlers? No. Are we all to be sweepers, low-class individuals? No. Well then, who is worth serving? Regardless of what class of man or what quality of individual you may be. The answer to that is very simple. We are created, and this manifestation is created, and the opportunity is provided, and the resources are available to render service to God, the Creator. We're part and parcel of God, and we are created as servants to serve the Master, who is the Supreme Lord. So in actuality, constitutionally, I should say, we are all servants of God. That's our constitutional created duty, responsibility, to come out of all of the minor levels of responsibility we've discussed here already and go above those levels of responsibility, that we have a service responsibility to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the next awakening level. And at that level, the Lord's plan becomes dominant, and my needs and requirements become subordinate. That is normal. by constitution. That's how the relationship is. He created it all. I'm a servant in the scheme of it all. Then let me render service to him, the supreme master, and it should all balance out. And it does. So our responsibility is to keep from being distracted by the pressures and anxieties and sufferings and confusion and idiocy and ignorance, etc., that's in the material world, that's basically speaking distracting you from your real work. You need to come to that realization that I'm an eternal servant of the Lord, and the Lord's plan is my focus, not my plan, not society's plan, not the demonic governments that are ruining the planet, ruining society, ruining the money, ruining all. No, that's not. I'm not to serve that. That will break. That is destined to break. It has no sustenance. It's not possible for it to continue. So my best interest lies in rendering service to the owner, the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer of everything. Because it's certain that I'll be looked after. He has the potency and capacity and resources to look after everyone. So there's no difficulty in him looking after me. So if I adopt the Lord's plan and I minimize my demands and needs, I'm on a platform of selfless responsibility that is not enjoyed by everybody who's struggling with the animal propensities and a variety of selfishness. I selfishly want this or that or the next thing, or for my family, or for my this, or for my that. I knew it, I need it, I deserve it, I want it. No. We're on the other platform of seeing to the Lord's wishes and dovetailing ourselves, our abilities, our qualities, our energy commitment to the plan of the Lord. Now, when we get to this point, we go, well, yeah, that sounds okay, but what if the Lord's doing something that I don't want to do? Well, you got two choices. You can deny it all and fall down into the lower species of life because you don't need a human form of life for all the other things you can do. You need a human form of life to be a servant of the Lord. Or you can understand what is the Lord's plan and do a bit of surrender. Because when you really understand what is the Lord's plan, it's one of compassion. The Lord is full of compassion for the living entities, sons and daughters, just like you and I, including you and I, that we come out of the temporary tabernacle of existence and return to the spiritual world, the spiritual tabernacle, in full knowledge, blissful enjoyment, and constant face-to-face service. This is the other side of the coin. When we come up above the selfish-orientated conceptions, move into the selfless strata, adopting the Lord as superior cause and plan and reasoning and worth, and dovetail ourselves, abilities, qualities, characteristics, in the Lord's plan, we're no longer on the material reward and punishment platform. While we're busy with all the material things and sometimes take responsibility and sometimes deny, we're in the good and bad. You earn good, you get good. You earn bad, you get bad. We're out of that. We get free from that. And we move to that platform of, I'm dovetailing myself with the Lord's plan, doing what I can do to further that plan. I'm actually enjoying it very much because the Lord's plan is one of compassion. Let me help these fallen living entities who've lost their ways, my brothers and my sisters, who don't understand in proper perspective anymore because the distractions are so strong. Down deep underneath, inside, we are all transcendentally beautiful, perfect living entities, magnificent specimens. But on the surface, these bodies that we've adopted, all we see is a huge variety of differences. Your body, my body, your age, my age, your species, my species. So many differences, and everybody's struggling for existence, for the necessities of life. Because they're trying to do it independently, as opposed to doing it service where the Lord sees to it your needs are cared for. The Lord makes that promise in the Vedic literature in Bhagavad Gita as it is. As they surrender unto me, thusly I reward them. So if you surrender, what you require comes. If you fuss and fight on your own, well, you get what you earn, and he leaves you to that. But if you surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and openly render service and try to harmonize and take responsibility, you are rewarded accordingly. If you accomplish a lot in behalf of the Lord, he sees to it that you are rewarded a lot, because this is his mission. His mission is to support and recover the fallen living entities who've lost their way. You now have found your way, and he's asking you, help me in this mission. He has so many other things, activities, pastimes, etc., that he does in the spiritual world. But in the material world, he simply comes here to save those who are devoted to him and to curb the demonic who are simply causing trouble here. And he displays his opulences, his pastimes, his beauty, his strength, his knowledge, his wealth, his compassion. He demonstrates this to the living entities when he comes here so that people are able to build their faith. So by coming out of the animalistic conception and taking responsibility for the fact you have a human form of life and getting above the social demands and the multi-distractions and compounding sufferings, if one lifts himself to understand, I am an eternal servant of God, my duty, my created standard, requirement, application of who I am is to render service, and let me render service that is favorable, he appreciates, he desires to have done, I don't concoct something, then I can live to on a platform above the human experience, above the good and bad, cause and effect, caught in this trap. And as I surrender to that service, as I dovetail myself, as I take responsibility for my duty, what's given to me as duty, I advance out of the illusory conception and become a more and more and more valuable servant of the Lord and rewarded accordingly. This is the promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Just surrender unto me, I will protect you from the most dangerous type of fear. And as you surrender unto me, thusly I will reward you. These are two verses directly from Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there is no discussion in here about your specific qualifications. The qualification is a desire to lift yourself up, eagerness to become an advanced being, one who serves God. No prerequisite. You just need to try. You need to care. And everyone has the potency. Everyone has the qualification, because the qualification is sincerity and love. If you sincerely do your service, the Lord recognizes that. If you do it selflessly with love, with intent to please, the Lord recognizes that. And these are the characteristics the Lord is looking for. He's not looking to find out your education level. Would you please fill in this form? He's not setting down some criteria. The only criteria he set down is your sincerity, your devotion. It's the love and the devotion with which we do something that really matters to the Lord. He says it clearly in Bhagavad Gita. So the door is open. The opportunity is available. You are automatically qualified. The intelligence and necessary qualities are inherent in you. It's simply a matter of cleansing the misconceptions that the body has superimposed over your normal, beautiful, spiritual, awake consciousness. We're semi-sleeping in these bodies because they're so thick, because they're so strong, imposing the filtration, shall we say, coverings of the material world. So we're supposed to rise above this material conception of life, return to a spiritual conception of life, engage ourselves in the loving service of the Lord, fix our minds upon rendering that service to the best of our ability with love and devotion and enthusiasm, determination. And we take responsibility for our lives. And the Lord helps you and assists you to be rewarded for that responsibility. So take responsibility. Recognize your characteristics, your qualities, and analyze what will actually make me happy at heart. What will fulfill me? Not things, not my senses, not just my mind, not false prestige. What will actually make me at heart full of happiness, bliss, love? It's rendering service to the greatest being possible, who has the facilities to reward you for your sincere service. This is where to place your faith. This is where to put your abilities. And this is where to take responsibility. The human form of life is where you take responsibility and you put an end to the anxiety and you get behind the Lord's plan and you compassionately assist Him in awakening others to the joy of a spiritual, everlasting, eternal relationship in face-to-face association with the all-merciful, compassionate Lord.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.